My name's Nicholas Kurosawa. I'm a local born entertainer, musician here in Hawaii. Born and raised in Manoa Valley. I'm a second generation musician. My father was a saxophone player and singer for a funk band in the 70s called Natural High. And yeah, I've kind of just recently embarked on my musical journey. As of last year, September, I quit my full-time job and just started playing music full-time. And once I let go of that security, monetarily, I guess, everything started happening for me musically. And in terms of meeting the right people, playing the right venues, and experiencing the right musical experiences, once I quit my job, which blows my mind. It's funny how a little bit of adversity just puts everything into perspective and things just start happening. Yeah, it's been an interesting 6 or 7 months or so, for sure.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
How about
yeah.
you? My name is Kennedy. I'm his sister. I was born in Manoa Valley, and I want to grow up and be like him.
Mm-hmm. So you watched him growing up too. I mean, you heard him the whole time you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You heard him. Did you hear him when he started playing music?
All I remember is when you started, you were just in your room with his guitar, and he started writing lyrics.
That's probably when she was younger.
Know? Yeah. How did you know? Did he come out and say, "Hey, Kennedy, look what I wrote"?
No. Because my room is right next to his, and our wall is very thin, so you can, like, hear him.
Whoa, you can hear him singing, like, and stuff? What did it sound like?
I don't know, it just sounded really... It sounded more interesting than when he was playing with his band.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was in a band then already.
Probably.
Yeah, it was probably when we were in our trio formation.
Oh.
So it was just guitar, bass, and me.
How old were you then?
We started that. No, that was definitely, I was in the thick of college.
Hmm. What was your major?
English. 2011 or
okay.
so, 10 or 11. Uh-huh. That was when I've known the two guys that I ended up forming the trio with since I graduated high school. Peter Moon's son, Peter Moon, well, we could just call him Junior, had a house, his pops' house, and we would just hang out there. And then his roommate is my now bass player. So I've known him since exiting high school.
What's his name?
Riley Pa'akala.
Riley Pa'akala is your bass player, mm-hmm. your drummer now.
Andrew Garma.
And that's the two. You're still a trio? No, you've got one more.
Yeah, we have one more. So Sam Willis is the now keyboard player, used to be a guitar player.
Oh.
He's kind of more the virtuoso, does everything.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's interesting what she said, right?
Yeah, I never knew that.
Why was it more interesting, I wonder? Huh.
I think it was just it being in its infancy and what came out. Like, they didn't really know that I could sing until my junior year of high school.
Oh, how'd they find out?
I had to do a project for my English class, and funny enough, I just procrastinated, and at the last minute, I was just like, I need to do something. So I created a PowerPoint presentation with a bunch of, like, slavery photos, and I played and sang Redemption Song by Bob Marley on, like, in front of the class. And then at the end of the semester, the teacher just gathered all the students that participated and did a presentation, and we did, like, a showing at Mamiya Theater. I went to St. Louis, and my mom and were in the crowd, and I did the thing. I played the PowerPoint and played the music. And I could see my dad crying in the crowd. I was like, whoa, he's crying. That's heavy. That never happens.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't born yet.
Too bad.
I'm pretty sure you were born.
Wow.
Yeah. And then...
Did that surprise you? I mean, you knew you could sing?
I mean, yeah. I mean, since probably the age of, I want to say like 6 or 7, my first CD that I got was an NSYNC CD, mm-hmm. and I just wore that thing out with my CD player. We'd have Sunday dinner at my auntie's house and my pahu every Sunday, and we'd trek it from Manoa out to there, and I'd just be in the back of my mom's Toyota Previo at the... my headphones on, just like screaming at the top of my lungs to the CD. And that's the earliest memory I have of me actively trying to sing. So yeah, that happened.
And then you started playing guitar too.
Guitar was middle school, so I went through a chubby phase in middle school, and I was really emotional and going through all the hormone swings and things, and I would just lock myself in my room and just teach myself songs and just learn that way. And yeah, that's when I picked up the guitar. That's pretty much when I told myself that I wanted to start collaborating with other people and making music. I never really got to, but that's where that angst came from, and is now translating into my need to be in a band and perform and create with other people. So yeah, it's definitely carried through, I guess, being dormant and hiding for that long. Now I finally just come to the grips of the fact that this is what I need to do, and this is who I want to be and who I am deep down, and like this is how I'm going to let it all out, is through the music, and hopefully make a change and bring about a cultural shift in Hawaii somehow, and instill positive values and different things. For sure, I have my mind set on more than just music, that's for sure.
How do you think your music relates to Hawaii?
We had this discussion with the band in terms of like relativity and the gravity of what we're creating. And I told my bandmates that if we're living in Hawaii, all of us are born and raised in Hawaii, which makes it even better. But we're experiencing Hawaii now in the moment. And our music, no matter what it's about, theoretically it is of Hawaii, because we're filters for all this that's happening around us, and we're putting it back out there with a little twist on it musically. And they were struggling with the idea that, man, what we're creating isn't valid, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be something because it's not saying this, or it doesn't sound like this, or it's not fitting in this way. And I told them originality is key, and it doesn't matter what somebody says or what you may think somebody is saying or feeling or thinking about our music, because the fact that we're existing in this moment, in this place, right now, we are creating technically Hawaiian or local music that should be shared with the world, and people should latch onto it. People should be able to use this as an example of local music, and that pigeonhole that's already been created can be destroyed, and you can show that we're diverse and very eclectic musically here in Hawaii. And that's kind of like my goal at the forefront, is show people that we're not just reggae, Jawaiian, Hawaiian. We can be funk, we can be jazz, we can be Afrobeat, we can do it all. And righteously so. I mean, they call it the melting pot for a reason. And you experience all kinds of music. Like, we went to Surf Jack on Tuesdays, and Sandy Tsukiyama performs there in the evenings. And you look at this tiny little Japanese lady, and then she starts singing in Portuguese, and you're like, whoa, that's like Hawaii in a nutshell. But that's where people that don't understand or haven't lived here or aren't of here, that's where they fall off at that moment. They look at you and they see right up front what it is, and they judge you, and they expect to get what it's supposed to be.
You're, you know, like the graphic designers now, the street artists, trying to... describe contemporary Honolulu.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, this, we're at a really, really interesting point in local history just because of the amount of people that come in and out of here, especially on Oahu. I enjoy going to the Outer Islands because it shows me how different the Outer Islands are from Oahu, and rightfully so. With all the infrastructure and everything that's here, it's definitely going to be different. And I love the Outer Islands a lot because it slows you down to the pace that I remember growing up and being in Hawaii and what it was like to be in Hawaii at that time before everything got really crazy. So this pivotal moment in at least Oahu's history right now, I guess that was another timing thing that really threw me off. I quit my job. I started to make music. I was really unhappy when I was working my full-time job because I knew that I wasn't giving back anything and I wasn't creating something that could further help the at least Oahu and Hawaii to be a little better. And music was the thing to get us to this new culture and identity and feelings about ourselves being from Hawaii. That was my idea, to open the door with music, show people that, you know, we can be interesting and different and we have all the facets that we need, and push, help local people rise up to think higher of themselves. You know, there's so many negative stereotypes about people from here that people from the mainland are telling you, or people from outside are telling you, oh, your reading scores are low, or, you know, what about public schools here? This, and this. They're pointing all these fingers.
Education is broken.
Yeah, you know. But instead of taking that in a negative way, let them do that, you know. The only reason people do that is because they're probably unhappy with themselves, that they have to bring other people down with them. So, you know, let them do what they have to do, but just give the people something else that they can be proud of at the same time.
I'm so interested in what your projection of what it's like to live in Honolulu today. Because you're right at Merriman's. You're right there in it. Mm-hmm. This is the new Honolulu there. And you, people like you, are the ones who are projecting who we are now.
Yeah. I'm saddened at the way that the music culture has definitely died off. I mean, in its heyday, Waikiki was the place to be to listen to live music. And I can see that people are struggling, or at least musicians are struggling to find that identity. And they're really balancing on that line of, well, am I going to be a Hawaiian musician or am I going to do something different? And I speak Hawaiian musician in a very broad term, like traditional Hawaiian music, contemporary Hawaiian music, Jawaiian music, what Hawaiian music became as in its stages after all of the influence came in and what it is now. Or are you going to do something different that people don't expect? And I'm going down that line of doing something completely different, but I want to be able to hold on to that tagline of, I'm local, I'm of this place, I'm promoting music from this place, it is local music. And that's been the biggest struggle, because what is now local music has such a big stranglehold on the whole world. Everyone knows it as that. And I'm in that, trying to make another little pocket and grow that pocket slowly but surely. And performing live, I love my gig that I play at Surf Jack with Gil Batangan. It's really free form, really fun. We do a lot of jazz standards, and I love singing jazz standards. And the other two gigs, Outrigger Reef and Merriman's, there I'm like background music. Whereas Surf Jack, I'm still background music at Surf Jack, but I guess it's just the camaraderie that I have with Gil makes it fun. But all in all, performing live, it has nothing to do with a musical experience, really. It's more just I'm background music. You want to hear music while you eat. It's enjoyable. It's even better when it's played live. That's the package that we're being promoted as. It's not like we have venues that local artists can go to and showcase what they're working on and do it up and do it the way that they want to, and people can go there and experience music for music's sake. So I think that's just the number one struggle for me right now, is we don't have a venue that can be feasible for these smaller groups that don't have a lot of money to fork into these kinds of places and be able to broadcast our talent.
On a regular basis?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd like? You'd like on a...
Yeah, totally. The struggle warrants a lot of good things out of it, for sure. And it is what it is. You know, this is the climate that we're in.
You quit your... What was your job?
I was working at a sandwich shop in Chinatown and then at the legislature at State Capitol.
What were you doing at State Capitol?
I was working in the print shop.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's good. And then that was your full-time job?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you see him much when he had his full-time job?
No, but I saw him most of the time at the sandwich job.
Oh, the sandwich job, yeah. Uh-huh. Did he seem like a happy person doing those jobs?
Yeah, I got to help.
Uh-huh. I see, uh-huh. So he did okay. But how about his music? Could he do music when he was doing that stuff?
He could, like, most of the time. Mm. It would mostly be about the job. Mm. But other times, like days that he wouldn't have to work, he would go to practices or anything else that he can.
Mm. You know, did he talk to your folks at all when he was thinking of quitting his job, his full-time jobs?
He talked about quitting his other job, his sandwich job, but... Uh-huh.
The job that nobody was going to complain about.
Yeah,
exactly. dip the toe in the water first before you jump in, you know? Set him up for the fall, at least.
And they were so supportive, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Unreal. Well, you know what? You're another example of where you have to leap before you freaking know where
yeah.
you're going to land.
Yeah.
That's. I don't know if that's a good example for you in your life, but I'm telling you, I'm collecting stories like this. Yeah, but you did have to.
Yeah, and it's just funny how life works in that way. And
Wait. You were thinking about it. You try to be practical. What did you think? You thought, I have enough gigs now I could...
I didn't. I didn't even have a weekly gig yet. All I had was my monthly gig at Manifest with my band. That was the only regular thing that I was doing.
So how did your mind work this out?
I had just broken up with my girlfriend, too. And there was just a lot of things I was just unhappy about with my life. And for some reason, I knew in the back of my mind that it revolved around the fact that I wasn't doing anything. I was just merely existing. And that frustrated me so much because I knew that I had a lot to say, and I knew that I had a lot of emotion about here, this place that I'm living especially, and my life and how I'm going through it. And the fact that it was so unmonumental just pissed me off. And I projected that onto my girlfriend. I projected that onto the rest of my life. And it wasn't until I finally just let go and let this all happen that it flooded me back with positivity. I was so negative for so long. And I finally found this spot. And I'm finally in the groove that I was supposed to be in. And I'm not riding next to it or above it or around it. And once I settled into it, everything just started falling into place. I met Roger Bong, Aloha
Dot
Soul.
Yeah.
He, in some small, invisible way, was the catalyst mm-hmm. for me projecting into becoming a musician, like wanting to do it mm-hmm. wholeheartedly. Our connection that we have is on another level. We must have been brothers in a past life or something. Like,
yeah.
I remember the first time we hung out at Honolulu Beer Works, his wife, Lei, is just kind of sitting on the sidelines while we're chatting, and she's like, you know what, I think I'm going to give you guys a moment. And she steps, walks over to the bar and leaves us at the table. I mean, just that kind of connection, which doesn't come that infrequently to me. I mean, it kind of happens enough to where I'm used to that happening, but just the magnitude of it and how intense it was and what it was about, it was just celestial in a way. It had to happen. And all the things that were happening after that had to happen as well. And
so the EP songs were written after, during that breakup?
So The River was the one about my most recent breakup. And Down Still is probably my favorite recording out of all the originals. I can revisit that.
Your father played with Natural High. Mm-hmm. Was that his regular job?
For a while, he was a full-time musician. I think right when I was born, though, he quit and then got a full-time regular job.
Does he still play?
They were doing that 70s reunion thing every year. I don't think they're going to do it this year, though, because about half the members of the band live elsewhere.
Oh.
So it's kind of a chore to get them all here. But their whole horn section lives here. So I'm planning on using them on the album and just doing like a
Father's God. Time duel.
He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know it yet, though. Just let me know when you air this interview and I'll just drive around in the car with him. And Just listen.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, but I've had that idea for a while now, just bridging that gap and paying homage to where my musical roots started, in a way. Uh-huh. I mean, I give a lot of credit to Peter Moon, hanging out at his house listening to vinyls. He opened my mind to a lot of jazz, a lot of world music.
I bet.
Yeah, that guy has impeccable taste. But it definitely started with my dad and hearing him play vinyls downstairs on the weekends. He just blasts it because he's deaf. Yeah, Hannah. We joke.
Would you play something?
Yeah, sure. Something from the album? Cool. I've been really addicted to this band since Roger showed me them. They're called Quadron. They're Danish, I think. But it's just a singer and a guy that produces the track behind me. The song's called Sea Salt.
I'm not trying to resolve, and I'm not trying to put you at fault. There's a reason for it all. In this affair, my came up short. You can blame me of it all. I shouldn't have walked before I could crawl. Though we both went overboard. You're just too hurtful to adore. But you just play on. But you just play with my feelings and you still blame it on an experience. Since you rubbed your back with my heart, why did I give it again? This time your blow kissed my direction. It takes a salt sea to mend. I couldn't help falling in again. I tried to pick my words and win. And this time only heals the skin. Time only heals the skin. But you just play with my feelings and you still blame it all on an experience. Since you rubbed your back with my heart, why did I give it again? This time you blow kiss my direction. It takes a salt sea to mend. Why? Does it take the salt sea to mend it? Why does it take a salt sea? Since you rubbed your back with my heart, why did I give it again? Each time you blow kiss my direction, it takes a salt sea to
songwriter who was a freaking English major.
It's almost poetic.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, I loved English in college. That was my favorite. That and ceramics.
Yeah, we have all of the ceramic pieces at home.
Please tell me more.
I only know the chorus to all of your songs.
My songs?
Some of your songs.
Isn't that
I like
cool?
your last song on the CD that you gave us.
The
Here I am so far and I can only.
You wanna sing that?
Can you sing it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Here I am so far and I can only think of her. I know what I am doing and that it's wrong. Sitting in a tidal pool of love, I swim around. The slippery fish of love just swims along by me.
What do I do? What do I do?
Don't neglect the one you love. What do I do? What do I do? Tell us
that you love
someone,
guys.
I loved it.
Approved.
Approved.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So super fun.